Okay, we are up to Perek Lamed Aleph. We are in the middle of these very beautiful nevuos about the times of Moshiach and beyond. We are up to Pasuk. Give me 1 second. Pasuk of Zayin. Can I get everybody say it's Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chof Zayin. The Hoyak Hasher Shakadati Alechem Lin Soish Vilin Soitz Vilaharois Ulahavid Ulehorea. Just as I in the past, Hashem is saying that just as in the past, in the times of Golus, I was diligent. The word Shakadati means to be diligent. Lin Soish. We have over here five expressions, I believe. Number one is Lin Soish. Lin Soish means to uproot. Vilin Soitz means to smash. Vilaharos means to destroy. Ulehavid. Ulehavid is a deeper meaning of destruction, annihilate. Ulehorea, and to bring evil. Five different expressions. Came likewise, in the Moshiach will come. Eshkoid. Hashem says that in the Moshiach comes, I will be diligent. Alehem, concerning Klal Yisrael. Livnois, Vlintoya, to build and to plan. Ne'um Hashem, so says Hashem. Now it's interesting, if you go back, I think, to the beginning of the Sefer Yirmiyah, one of the first Nevuos says, the very beginning of Yirmiyah, Pas Perigal Pasik Pasik Tes, Vayishlach Hashem Es Yodo Vayagal Pi Yirmiyah Hashem Elai Hinei Nasati Devar Befi, Re'eh Hashem says to Yirmiyah, Hifkadati Hayom Hazel Lagoyim Yal Hamam Lachois. So here we have the same words, but not the lin soish. Okay, lin soish vilin soitz ulahavid vilaharos. Okay, so it's interesting over here. We have here the same four words. Okay, we don't have ulahorea, and the order is not the same. So the question is, what is the significance of why it's lin soish vilin soitz? Ulaharos, ulahavid is in reverse order. So isn't that interesting? Why over here, and then it goes on to say, so too in the future, I will be diligent, livnos v'lintoyak. Let's review the psukim to explain this well. I'm not explaining it well. If you go back to the beginning of Perek Aleph, Pasik Yud, Hashem recruits Yirmiyah. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, I have appointed you, I have recruited you, you have been designated from the time, even before you were born, before you were conceived, to be the Navi for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to be a Navi to save over prophecy to the entire world, to do six things. Now what are the six things? According to most of the commentators, the first four are negative, and the next two are positive. The negative ones are Lin Soish, Vilin Soitz, Ulahavid Vilaharos. Those are the first four which are negative. And the next two words, Livnois Vilin Toya, are the positive. And if you look at, if you just look over there in the Pasuk, you look in the Mitzudos Tavid. Okay, the Mitzudos Tavid doesn't really say anything in the Mitzudos Tavid. But okay, we'll leave that. But over here, the only thing I want to point out, I don't have an interpretation, but I just want to point out that it's very obvious that this pasuk over here in Perek Lamed Aleph is coming to draw, to parallel the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. There, Hashem says, I'm going to use you as a tool to do destructive things to the world, to Klal Yisrael. And here Hashem is reviewing what Hashem said he was going to do, but here he says, now in times of Mashiach, the same diligence that I used to bring Churban, I'm going to use to bring for you good. And we're using kimat, the same exact words. The only thing which is very curious is that we have here in our pasuk one more word, ulehorea, and the word ulehorea did not appear in Hashem's original plan. It almost seems to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he originally planned to bring Korban to Klal Yisrael, the word Ulehorea was not part of the plan. That came about later. The other curious thing is that the words are reversed. Oh, we are over here in the prediction. When Yirmiyah was recruited, it first says, Vilehavid Vilaharos. First is destruction, then is Laharos. And here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recording exactly what indeed happened, it says, Vilaharos Vilehavid. So the obvious question is why? Why are these two words in reverse order? And why is the word ulahareya injected? I don't know. I don't know, but it's obvious there is over here, I can't help but point out that connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original plan, and it seems that since here, this pasuk here is a record of what exactly happened in the past, the original plan was changed slightly. The order of the way things came about, and how they came about, was slightly changed. Maybe the fact that we had to change v'laharos u'lahavid, that's why it had to be injected u'lahareya. Maybe that's also part of what was necessary, being that the plan changed. Okay. Also, it says here the word eshko, to be diligent, in the very first nevuah that Hashem said to Yirmiyah, going to the next pasuk, vayihi devar Hashem elai le'mata roya, and the very first nevuah of Yirmiyah was a makel shoked ani roeh. I see an almond staff. What is an almond staff? An almond, and the pasuk goes on to say the word shkedim is a mashal for diligence, something which happens very quickly, because the almond tree is the first tree which produces fruit. I think they say an almond tree takes 22 days. 22 days from the time that it begins to bud until it develops, corresponding to the 22 days of the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is not really 21 days, really 22 days, because you count Shavuos b'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. It's a grand total of 22 days. And those 22 days also correspond, Zelu Mazet, to the 22 days from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei through Simchas Torah. It's also 22 days. So you see the connection. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're using almonds. We're using the word Shkedim. Shkedim, Hashem is going to be diligent. Shkedim is symbolic of almonds. Almonds take 22 days to grow. And over here Hashem is saying, just like I was diligent to bring Churban with these five expressions, likewise I'll be diligent to bring for you, Livnois v'lintoya, I'm going to be diligent to do good. It's going to be a zeh l'umazeh. There are two times a year that have exactly 22 days in which the focus is zeh l'umazeh. The 22 days of the Bein HaMetzarim are days of Tzar, when we reflect over the Churban Beis HaMikdash, starting with Shavuos v'Tammuz, concluding with Tisha B'Av. It corresponds, and to make up those 22 days of Tzar, we have 22 days of Simcha, starting with Rosh Hashanah, going all the way through Simchas Torah. These are 22 days where we are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kirvas Elohim. Okay, let's see the Mepharshim in the first Mitzvot of Pasuk of Zayin. Back in back over here where we are, Pasuk of Zayin, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk of Zayin. Kasher Shakadi, Kamo Shayisi Mimaher Umishtadel Lehara Lohem. Just like I was diligent, I was quick, and I was diligent to bring evil, to bring harm upon you. Likewise, when Mashiach comes, I'm going to be diligent to do good to you. Rashi, Pasuk of Zayin, there is no Rashi. Let us look at the Radak. Radak, the Hoyav Shakadati, Inyan, Hishtadlus, Bedavar, Vhazrizus Bo. Hishtadlus is activity. Person is busies himself and is diligent to bring about a desired goal. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk of Ches, Bayomim, Ohim, in those days. Lo yoimru od avos ochlu voiser vishinei vonim tikena. No longer will it be said that the fathers, they have eaten sour grapes, which is acidic, which is bad for the teeth. And the ones that have to suffer the consequences are v'shinei vonim tikena, the teeth of their children tikena, they become, the way it translates here in the article, set on edge. The Mitzudos Tzion says chalishos. Chalishos hashinayim l'chateicha machol. The teeth are too weak to chop, to cut the food, to chew the food. V'chein keo habarzel. When the piece of metal is too dull, the blade is dull, is unable to cut something. Let's see the next part. Pasuk of Tetz, Ki im ish ba'avoino yomusu, yomus. A person will suffer his own sins. Kol adam ho'ichel boiser. Anyone who eats boiser, he, tikhena shinov, he will be the one whose teeth will be weakened. So we have a very fascinating principle being expressed of what's going to be the difference between the Hashkocha Pratis, the time of Mashiach, the time now. And this touches upon a very, very interesting concept of lo yumsu avois albanim, Vanim lo yumsu alavos. So we have a principle in the Torah that children are not held accountable for the sins of their fathers. However, the pasuk also says, "Paiked avoyin avoyz al banim al bnei banim al shilei shin di al ribeim." That Hashem does hold children accountable for the sins of their forefathers. Look, when we daven on Yom Kippur, so we read the piyut of the Asarugei Malchus, so it's very shocking to learn that the Asara Harugei Malchus were being punished for the chatoim of the Shvatim. How could it be? That's much more than four generations. We're dealing over here thousands of years, and over here they're suffering. And Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, he went to Shemayim Mitzvahs Nepiyot, and he saw in Shemayim that yes, these people have been selected to be punished for the chait of Mechiras Yosef. So this is a principle which is very difficult to understand, but it's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says that Paiked Avoyin Avoyis Al Banim Al Bnei Banim Al Shilei Shim V'Al Ribeim. And the Gemara says the only time that principle applies is when the children are continuing to follow in the sins of their forefathers. So does that mean to say that these tzaddikim, the Asarugei Malchus, they were partially had within them a teeny mashu, microscopic chait of the Shvatim? It's very, you can't say that. Who are we to say such a thing? But the Chazal say such a thing, but again, in a general rule, that children suffer for the sins of the fathers when they are the oidkim b'masim, when they cleave to their evil ways. But if they do not cleave to their evil ways, they are completely different, then we apply the principle, lo yumsu avos al banim, lo yumsu alavos. Now here, we're opening up a whole new principle. And that is, when Mashiach comes, even this concept, that a child will suffer the chatoim of the fathers, even that does not apply. Even that's not going to apply. Which basically, I mean, again, a lot of these things are very mysterious. Because according to what Chazal said, a person could do an Avera today, and he will not suffer at all. Hashem, whatever the reasons are, Hashem allows him to get off scot-free. He goes to the Olam HaEmes without suffering for his chait. His child, who continues to do the Avera the same way the father, not only will the child suffer for his own sins, the child will have to suffer for the sins of the father. So the father, the child is going to get a double punishment. That's what we say in the Slichos, Aval Anachnu Chotanu V'Avoseinu. We continuously confess the sins, our sins, and the sins of our fathers, because just in case that we, our fathers, have done an Avera, and they have not been punished, and we are continuing to behave in this bad midah, we may not even realize we're behaving in a way which is not proper, and it's only because we have been trained to behave in such a way from our parents or grandparents, and they, for whatever reason, Hashkacha, Hashem chose not to cause them to suffer, but we, not only will we suffer our sins, we will suffer the sins of our fathers as well. That's what we have to say in Vidui, Avala Nachnu, Chotanu, V'Avoseinu. We have to confess for the sins of our fathers. Now, why is that so? So there is no real answer, but one of the ideas that is expressed, and of course this has to be understood, from the context, is because there has to be a balance of bechira chofshes. If a person, every single person in this world, would be punished for his sins, he would not leave this world until he was struck down by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it would be too easy. It would be too easy. That would defeat the purpose of creation. There has to be hester ponim. There has to be hiddenness, where a person is given a decision to choose ubacharta b'chayim. You have a choice to make, and in this world there's no reward, there's no punishment, and yet you have an obligation to do the mitzvahs. If every single person did not leave this world until they were held accountable for their sins, people would just study history. They would look at their parents, look at their grandparents, and they would see that crime does not pay. You're going to suffer for your sins. In order that there can be bechira chavshes, there has to be din v'cheshbon. But when Mashiach comes, the world's going to operate in an entirely different order. It's going to be so obvious that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. It's going to be a different type of bechira. What exactly is different type of bechira? I do not know. But the point is that it's not going to be necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to withhold punishment from a person and wait till the next generation. Each person will be immediately be held accountable for their sins. If a person does an Avera, he will suffer. What? Why would they do an Avera? So that's a good question, because there's a Yetzirah. Will there be a Yetzirah when Mashiach comes? At some point in time, the Yetzirah is going to be slaughtered. I don't know. But the Bechira, being that Mashiach has arrived,
and it's clear that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a different type of Bechira. We don't know what that means. But at least in this respect, where a person can get away with not doing an Aver in order that the person should have Hester upon him, will not exist. And therefore, when a person does an Aver, he will be held accountable, and it's not going to be passed down to his child. If the father eats sour grapes, the father's teeth, they will suffer and will not go. Will not go down to the next generation. Now, it's obvious. It's another one. Before we see the first, there's one other interesting thing I saw somewhere is that this pasuk ties into the teeth of the rasha. We have Hakei Yashinav by the Haggadah. We have a rasha. Af ata Hakei rasha zma avodas lochem lochem. Why are you knocking out his teeth? It's this pasuk. Okay, you have to write in your Haggadah. Look here in Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Gimel, because the night of Lel Pesach is a night of clarity. It's a me'ain, it's night. One of the unique features of the night of Pesach, everything is being done at night. You say halal at night. How do you say halal? You never say halal at night. You don't make brachas at night. The answer is that the night of Lel Pesach is in the category of day. And it's not just day. It's the day, it's a me'ain of la'osel lovo, the times of Mashiach. In the times of Mashiach, you don't have to wait for Rishoyim. The Rishoyim don't get away. Don't get away with their averos. The pasuk here says, in the past, what happened? The avos achlu voser, the fathers, they ate sour grapes. It's a euphemism for, it's an expression, a metaphor for, they were rishoyim, and Hashem let them get away with it. Why? Because that's the way the world is. The world is a world of hester upon him, a world of hiddenness. Who suffers for the sins of the fathers? The children. Poiked avoin avos al banim al bnei banim. Kishayich sama. We said that's what we said before. Kishayich sama seidem. I'm assuming kishayich sama seidem. The children they'll suffer double for themselves and for their fathers. But
the person himself, if he was immediately punished,
yeah,
not do it again.
If the person, so he's a fool. Well, that's what Rabbi Nechemi asks. So why would a person, we're dealing over here during a time of great revelation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's obvious to all. Why then would a person be so foolish to sin? The answer is, that's the koyach of rishus. The koyach of evil is so powerful, even when you know, we have people in the Chazal. Yoidim ribaynam umeschavnim limroid boy. Nimroid. Nimrod was the person who was well aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was 100% aware there is a creator. He didn't care. He had the whole world, everything. Umeschavnim. The wickedness, there is a koyach of rishus in this world that takes on a life of its own. I don't know, I hope no one here had the bad experience of dealing with such type of people. It's very, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have a community, we're very close to the community, and everyone is a very good person, and no one would think. But sometimes you go out into the world, and you meet people, and you're just shocked. There is a ruach, there is a spirit of wickedness in some people that have pleasure. It's a sickness. They're evil. So, with time of Mashiach, there is something called evil. Hashem created a koyach of evil. So, even though they know that doing an avera is not going to be of any benefit for them, it doesn't matter. That is their nature. Well, how does that work? I don't know. So here, this is a very fascinating tupsokim, which really explains, gives enormous insight into what it says in the Haggadah, the af ato hake eshinav. What you're telling is, you Russia. You come to the Haggadah, we're sitting around the table. It's now a moment of clarity. It's not a moment now at the Seder of Hester Panim. It's not Tisha B'Av. You know, the Seder, there's many parallels between the Seder, between Lel Pesach and Tisha B'Av. They're the two opposite extremes. Lel Tisha B'Av is the ultimate of V'yonochi Haster Aster Panai Bayomahu. It's the ultimate of hiddenness. And what is Lel Pesach? It is Shalom Aleichem. It is the ultimate of revelation, clarity. So when you're in a generation of clarity, Hashem punishes the Rasha instantly. There is no principle v'lo yoimru od avos achlu v'yser v'shinei vanim tikena. You say to the Ben Rasha, you want to be a Rasha at this moment of time, mo havoida zos lochem, lochem v'lo lo, l'fi shotzi atzom en akal kofar be'ikar. The punishment should come to you now. Don't think you're going to live a good life and you'll pass on all the problems to the next generation. Mimela ki im ish ba'avono yomus kol ha'adam ha'oichel ha'boiser. The one that eats the boiser, tikhena shinav. His teeth will fall out. You, Russia, your teeth are going to fall out right here, right now. Don't think that you're going to pass on all of your averos to the next generation. So this is really powerful stuff. It really opens up an idea to understand the deeper meaning of what's going on below Pesach at the Seder. Okay, let's see now the commentators. Possibly, I did two psukim, Pasuk Chav Ches and Chav Tes. Chav Ches, lo yomer odu, lo in the Mitzudos David, starting with Pasuk Chav Ches, lo yomer odu, lo yisra'amu, oid loymar, hine avos, no one's going to complain, to say, hine, it's not fair. People are not going to complain that there is hester upon him. Hinei ha'avos achlu b'yser, v'haloi ha'nachon, is it not proper, is it not fair that the person that sinned, him, he himself should suffer? Ki mish achal ha'b'yser yiku shinov, ritzon alaymar, ha'avos chatu, v'hinei ha'banim mekabel v'oynish, haloi ha'nachon sha'choyte yikabel ha'ba'atzme onish, is it not proper that the choyte should receive the punishment, v'chein emar, sha'amru kishemis ra'amim, Avos, this is what people say when they complain about when they complain about Hester upon him. Why do later generations have to suffer for the sins of the previous generations? Pasuk Chav Tes, but Kiyim, but everything now will be corrected. Ki oz lo yiti yakein, ki kol echad yomus v'avoynoi v'lo yanshu bonav achrav, his children will not suffer, uchumar oichal abayis v'asher tikena shinof, levadam, v'lo yishinu bonav, not the teeth of his children. Ken yiyem d'avach ha'inish, so it will be in the future, v'zeu l'fit shalos, lo yiskaber alem ha'yetz So here the Mitsudos is coming to give us in the parentheses a very deep idea. Obviously he's also very disturbed. What exactly does this mean? So he puts it as follows. There's going to be averos chamuros v'shiyachazu habonim gam heim abohem ad sheyonshu gam ba'avoin avihem. He seems to be saying is that when a person commits an avera chamura, a very severe averos, very deep idea he's alluding to, that's when a Kadosh Baruch Hu can't just punish the avos. If a person commits a small avera, then Hashem can. So he only needs a small punishment. Giving a person a small punishment is not going to change the destiny of that person. Every person has a certain destiny of what's meant for him, to come from him. And that is something which, to a certain degree, a person can't even change. You can do all the averus that you want. There's a certain destiny. A person was put in this world for a certain purpose, and a certain things have to happen. If a person does averus chamuros, he deserves to be cut off immediately. If he deserves to be cut off immediately, that's what he deserves. That's going to change everything. That's going to change all future generations. Maybe from this person he has to have children. Not that he has to have children, because there's other people out there in the world who need shidduchim, and they need to marry his children. You are part of the bigger picture. And when one person cuts himself off, he affects generations later. It can be 100 years later, terrible things are going to happen because this person was missing in the link. So if a person does not aver chamura, and he has to be punished what he deserves, Hashem can't do it. Hashem can do whatever he wants, of course, but Hashem will not want to do it because it's going to affect things at a later point in time. So therefore, Hashem has no choice but to hold off on giving over this full punishment. But Hashem will then orchestrate, will arrange things that in later generations, this sin will be accounted for in full. But an avera kala, but a small avera person, he said a few words during Chazaras Hashatz, okay, maybe after Rechamura, so that he'll have some. This he'll put his pen into his pocket. He took out a quarter instead of taking out a dime, whatever it is. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's not going to affect the big picture. This sounds like a little bit of science fiction, but it's not. This is so. Memela Osed Lavo, it's not going to be Nogeya. Because the love over here, what the Masuda is saying, this very deep idea, I don't know where he's getting this from, is there's not going to be, the Yetzirah is not going to be so great. There'll be a little Yetzirah. But the Yetzirah is not going to be so great where a person would do an Avera Chamura, where it would be necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to punish him now because of the big picture. only do Avera Kalos, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can punish, and there's not going to be any effect, any ripple effect for other people or for things that come later on. Okay, Holocaust is such a topic that you can't even go near it. I remember once about Rav Herschel Schachter. I was listening to him on the tape, and he started to cry. I never heard him cry like that. He was crying, and he said that he was self-deprecating drush, and he said that he was a very young rabbi. He once gave a drasha about the Holocaust, and he said something like that. He said that the Holocaust, you know, why it happened. It's like they, I don't know. He says some approach happened because the chatoim of the previous generations, and there was a Holocaust survivor in the room, and the Holocaust survivor came over to him and let him have it, and says, "I was there, and I saw what I saw. The horrors that I saw are beyond imagination, beyond description. It's Maver al Arayon what I saw. And how dare you start legitimizing and trying to make cheshbonos? There is no way in the world it's possible to make any sense out of the Holocaust." And he started to cry. He started to cry. And he said, he really shook me up. He was 100% right. I apologized to him. And I'm living the rest of my life with that clarity that Holocaust... don't touch. Holocaust is so beyond understanding. Rav Yoshua Ber Soloveitchik said, Hester Panim Muchlat. He added that word. In the Torah we have Chazal, Hester Panim, Hiddenness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Anochi, Hester Panim. He added that word. Muchlat. Absolute. The absolute totality of Hester Panim is the Holocaust. So
extreme,
beyond extreme. You can't go near it. So even with these ideas, they're all very nice on paper. Halacha l'maisa, when you want to deal with something of that scale, and you should know the truth is not only the Holocaust. Anytime a person suffers a tragedy, how can you tell a person Rachmanos lost a child, or a person any type of incident a person has where he has a lot of tsar? It's very hard. Everyone in their life, there's no person that escapes situations that are very painful, and it haunts you your entire life, and it's Hester Panim. And what are you going to do? It's very nice on paper. Yeah, we all know this to be true, but to internalize it and to bring it 100%, it's a very hard avodah.
In the early 30s, there was some Chofetz Chaim and the Rabbanan that knew already.
Okay, we don't live in, these are very hard things for us to relate to. We didn't live then. It's already more than 70 years. It's a very big problem.
They saw what was coming.
It's hard for us to. Yeah, okay, I don't know. Yeah, we don't know. It's very hard to understand. I don't know. Yeah, you want to say something, Mr. Bloom? Okay. So this is. I think over here in these parentheses, he's saying over here, let's read those parentheses one more time. I think he's saying a very profound philosophical idea. The Mitzvah Stavit is very rare for the Mitzvah Stavit to delve into philosophy, to delve into, you know, very deep machshava. And here he does so. But there, what's the reason? He doesn't normally do that. Lefi shalos lo yiskaber aleim hayetzo haro kol kach. La'asos averos chamuros. It's not going to happen when they're going to do averos chamuros, where there's going to be an issue. V'sheyoechazu habonim gam hema bohem. So I didn't really say it correctly. He's saying even more. He's saying something a little bit simpler than I thought. He's saying that the only time Hashem punishes a child is if the oiches b'maseh yedehem. So, but he still says the word averos chamuros. Why do you have to? If you want to talk about the issue of children not following in the ways of their fathers, doesn't make a difference whether it's chamuros, it's not chamuros. If the father talks during davening, so the children talk during davening. It makes a difference chamuros, not chamuros. He seems to be putting together two different ideas. There's something called averos chamuros, and there's another concept that the children will not relate to their parents. That every child will be their own man. My father may have done his thing, but I'm not bound to follow in his ways, which is very interesting. Look at this community. Look at all of the shuls in this community. None of the children of anyone in this community would dare daven in the shul of their father. would settle in this community. Right? Every single shul in this community was established by some young 30-year-olds, whenever it was. Every shul is a chevra. You have about 50 people, 30 people, 20 people. They get together and they take a rabbi. It's a chevra. And then they have children. Their children make simchas, the bar mitzvah. They get married. And then the children, they go to kol for a year or two. And then where do they settle down? Not here. Not anywhere near their parents. Wherever it is. So they are their own person. By chassidim, though, it's not like that. Chassidim, they sit at the table. You go to some of the big batei midrash. On one table, you can have four generations. They don't move?
The parents buy the house.
It's an economic issue.
It's more than economic. By the Litvak, it's more than economics. They want to get away from the parents. No, it's more. It's to be your own person. They're trying to bring out this pasuk where the children are not going to be oiches the maseim shalav oiseim. They want to run away. It's a mitzias. Okay, let's go further. Let's go over here the Rashi. Rashi, boiser. What does boiser? Boiser means sour grapes. Truth is, boiser does not always mean sour grapes. In the Gemara, boiser means grapes that have not yet ripened. They have not yet ripened. Pre shaloi nigma. That's what it says. Vuhu maka es hashem. Just happens to when the grapes have not yet ripened. It weakens the teeth. The shine vanim tekena habanim yilku ba'avod avos. It's a metaphor. It's a concept that the children suffer the sins of the father. Let us see what it says in the Radak. Radak pasuk chavches says lo yamu od avos achlu vaysem shine vanim tekena mashal hu lachayte. This is a mashal for a sinner. Kamosha amu kad moynehem avoseinu. Our forefathers have sinned, and they are no longer. They have already left this world. But it is us, we have to suffer, we have to bear their sins. The MSU, and this concept is MS key. Mimidas habari yisparach peiked. This is the pasuk we quoted many times. Peiked avoy navos albanim. V'zehamido he. This, of course, there is a condition. This is qualified only kishoichazin habanim maase avoy sehem. Only when the children continue to behave in the evil ways of their forefathers. Oz then yischabru. Now here's the key word yischabru. Then Hakadosh Baruch Hu joins. He connects the sins of the forefathers, avonis avos im avonis abonim, the yifkidu al habonim avon avos, and Hashem visits upon the children the sins of the fathers im avonisim together with their own sins. So the children are going to suffer doubly. V'ze einay ela b'chait. Now here he comes to limit this concept. This is also getting into some very deep machlekes and rishonim. When exactly do you apply this rule? Do you apply this rule to talking during davening? Do you apply this rule for eating non-kosher? Not necessarily. This is machlekes rishonim. The Radak says, "V'ze'enay ela b'chait avoidas koychavim umazolais uchayoytzei chait gadol." That's really what the Mitzudas try to allude to. But when it comes to small sins, it seems that this principle does not apply, which is very difficult, because I think if you look around and you see people who commit what we would consider to be averus kalos, and nothing happens to them. So if someone doesn't do and we don't really know. You can't really analyze any person's life, but at least that's what it says here in the Radak. This principle, peiked avoyin avos albanim, only applies to averos chamuros. And being that la'asalavo, people are not going to be doing averos chamuros, so mele, this entire principle will not apply. Ki la'asalavo levavim sholim Hashem. Hiftiachas Yisrael ki la'asalavo levavim sholim Hashem. Umolar etz das es Hashem. V'yim atu hachoytim. It does not say here in the Radak that there will be no sinners. It means there will be less sinners. V'yafachaitim b'zman ahu lo yechetu chet gadol, and even those who do so will not sin with chatam gedolim. Shafilu hem atzmam yarich ha'inish, k'moish that they should shafilu lo hem atzman yarich ha'inish k'moish amar v'achaitim ben meya shana yikulol, and even them Hashem will delay punishment. Hashem will even give people will live very long lives. So Hashem will give a person an opportunity to do tshuva to the very end of his life. Kol shekhen shlo yonesh haben b'chet aviv. Certainly, if a person himself will have a long time to do tshuva, certainly his children will not suffer on his behalf. Afilu yechte ka'aviv l'fichudif ha'ichel ha'boisar tikena shinav. U'boisar hu ha'pri, shlo nigmar b'shulo, it's not been ripened, v'ichel ha'shinav chaos becomes weakened. U'bosef yecheskel nerech oi b'zeh ha'inyin be'ezras ha'kel. And in Sefer Yecheskel, we will discuss this concept more in Yirtzah Hashem. Okay, let's go now to Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed says, Hinei yamim ba'amnu ma'ashem v'chorati espes yishol v'espes yudu b'ris chadosha. I will forge, I will seal a new covenant with Klal Yisrael. The Kores Abris. Kores means to seal. What's a good word for Kores? I don't know a good word for Kores. Anyone have any ideas? What does it exactly mean to be Kores? Kores means to cut. Because when you make a covenant, like the Bris Bein HaBesarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he split the animals. In ancient times, the way you make a treaty is Koreis. So what do you do when you make a bris? You take an object and you cut it into two parts. You take your part, I take my part. Right? I'm sure you read these novels where people have these coins or these necklaces. Right? And you buy them in the store. You buy a necklace and the necklace has two parts and they perfectly fit one into each other. You wear your part and your friend wear it. He can be on one end of the world and you are on one end of the world, and the only two objects in the world which interlock are these two objects. These two objects, the only one which interlock one another, and you wear your necklace, he wears his necklace, there is a covenant between you. And the way it symbolizes, you've taken something which you've cut into two, and the only way these two things can come together is when you join together. So that's why it's called the Kores HaBris. You take an animal, you cut it into two parts, each partner takes one part, or you pass in between. That's why we use the word Kores means to cut. Krisa literally means to cut, but it's used here as a barred expression when it comes to a bris. Now let's see Pasuk Lamed Aleph, next Pasuk. Now, this is a very scary bris. What do you mean a new bris? A new bris? Does it mean to say there's going to be a new Torah? One of the animamins is animamim b'un ha'shleima, sh'loi tei Torah zos muchlefes, v'loi tei Torah acheres. I haven't said these in a long time, so let me take a sitter. One of the principles of faith, this pasuk is a challenge to the Rambam. Chazal said, La'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That would be a good thing to discuss. Yeah. But, what's the Ani Ma'amin? Let me turn to the page. No, Tess? Ani Ma'amin Be'muna Shleima Shezois HaTorah. Lo sehe muchlefes will not be exchanged. V'loy sehe Torah acheres me'es ha'bore yisparachshma. There will not be from the Ribbono shel Olam a different Torah, another Torah. Really? But it says here in this pasuk, Hinei yamim b'amnu mashem v'chorati yespes yishol v'yespes yehuda bris chadosha, a new bris. Which seems to me, it is a... Anu. So to that answer, that question is what Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the Medrash, really asked this question. What I'm telling you is coming from the Medrash. Pasuk Lamed Aleph comes to clarify. Loi kabris asher karati. No, the answer to that Pasuk comes in Pasuk Lamed Beis. I apologize. But let's first read the Ultim together. Loi kabris asher karati esavoysam. Not the bris which I have sealed with their fathers, b'yom hechaziki v'yadam, when I took hold of their hand. This is a very beautiful expression. Hechaziki v'yadam. There are so many expressions throughout Chazal that describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem carried us al kanfei nesharim. Hashem, anan Hashem hoylech lifneihem. And Hashem went behind us. Here is something very different. Hashem took us by the hand.
Like a child.
Okay, I always say this is pshad, you say the pasuk, Yehiyu l'ratzon imri fiv hegen l'mi l'fenech Hashem. I'm sorry. Hashia yemincha va'aneni. May your right hand save us and answer us. Hashia. What does it mean? Hashia yemincha. So you say, ah, Yemincha, there's a Yemin, and there's a small Yemin, is Rachamim, small is Din, Hashem, you write him, Yemincha Hashem, Nedor Bakoyach, Yemincha Hashem, Tirat Oyev. No, it means very simple. You don't have to go to such very deep things. It's this pasuk. It's this pasuk. Just hold me by the hand. Like you see a father walking with a child in the street, there's no greater security for a child when other than when he's holding the hand of his father walking in the street. You can cross the busiest, you ever see some parents out of their mind, they cross Ocean Parkway when there are cars going all directions, Shagayim, they're crossing, and worse, they're taking their children with them. And the child is totally oblivious that they're mamish in sakonis and fascis, as long as the child's hand is being held by the father's hand, he's safe and secure. That security is greater than any iron dome or any tomahawk missile or anything you can possibly have. Just knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking us by the hand is the greatest sense of security. And here it's incredible what this pasuk says. It totally ignores all the expression you have in Chazal of the kanfei nesharim. You know, kind of, oh yeah, you have the F-16s, right? Hashem will take us on the Dreamliner. We don't need the Dreamliner. Just hold me in your hand. There's so much more security when you're being taken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand than when you've been taken by all of these elaborate machines. When I took them by the hand, what do they do to that? They annulled my bris. In other words, they were unfaithful. Now you have to read this backwards, as we'll see in the Mefarshim. Even though I was their master. So you have to, if you read the words backwards, it makes a lot more sense. Even though, v'anochi, Ba'alti va'am numashem, I was their master. Yet they had the chutzpah, hema heferu esprisi, to annul my covenant. So the bris that we're going to make in the future is not going to be like this bris, because the bris that I made with you in the past has been abused, has been annulled. But rather, here comes pasuk lamed beis, kizos habris. The new bris that's going to be made in the future is going to be Asher Echreis Espeis Yisrael Achre Hayom Hohem Nu'um Hashem Nosati Es Torasi Bikirbam. The new bris will be where I'll put the Torah Bikirbam in their midst. The Alibam Echto Vena, I will write it directly upon their hearts. V'Hayisi Lohem Lelokim, I will be to them as a God. V'Hema Yuli L'Am, and they will be to me as a nation. Okay, now there's a lot to explain over here. Before let me just explain a few ideas out there before we do it inside. First of all, let's go back to the question I started with. The question I started with over here is, we have a Rambam, and the Rambam says that one of the Ikarim of Emunah, Peres does not believe in this, he's a Kofer. It's not so simple. It's not so simple. I take that back. I'm just going off on a tangent. We have even 13 Ikarim. What happens if you have a person that comes to you and tells you, I don't believe in one of the 13 Ikarim. I don't believe in it. I just don't believe in one of these. Does that mean he is an apikoires, and you're not allowed to trust his kashrus, and you're not allowed to do everything? Not necessarily. Many of the places, I can't give you names, say that these are the Ikarim, and these are the, you have to be maimin, but if you find Rachmana Litzlan, a person that's not a maimin, one of these Ikarim, okay, there are certain ones, you have to know which ones. It does not necessarily mean that he's out of Klal Yisrael. Okay, but the point here is, whoever said that this pasuk is referring to Torah, that's what pasuk Lamed Beis makes it very clear. Since these psukim are all part of one sequence, Torah, the bris, and when it says that we're going to get a new bris, the new bris says, Asher nosati es Torah si bikirbam, I'm going to put my Torah bikirbam in their midst, v'alibam echtovena, I'm going to write the Torah on their hearts. So obviously the bris that we are referring to is the bris of Torah. So if it's the bris of Torah, there is, you want to go say, Hashem made a bris, a covenant, you be good to me, I'll be good to you. Okay, so we'll make a new covenant. But once over here the pasuk itself has clarified that the bris is the bris of the Torah, and it says Hashem is going to give us a new Torah, Isn't that what it says? I'm going to give the nasati es tarasi bikirbam, the alibam echtovena, the yisi lohem lelukivahim alililam, and this all in the category of a new bris. It would seem to say that Hashem is going to give us a new Torah. How could that possibly be? But what's one of the ikarim? So the Medrash asks this question, and the Medrash says there are extra words in this pasuk which tell us it's not so, and those are kizos habris. The fact that it says in pasuk lamed beis the word zos. It doesn't just simply say we could have avoided these words. It could have just says, it could have just said, Asher Echrois Espes Yisrael Achre Hayam Mohem Num Hashem. We could have, I don't know. You have to reconstruct the pasuk. But the fact that it says Kizos Habris, according to the Medrash, is going back on the original pasuk Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Lamed, Hine Yom Bam Num Hashem Vuchati Espes Shol Espes to the Bris Chadasha. The Bris Chadasha is Zos HaBris. It's the same bris that we had before. The word Zos indicating that it's the same, it's just going to be a renewal of what we had originally. Let me read it to you inside to make it clear. Kenosati hine yamim bom bris chadasha uma kavona sapsukim bzeh. And in order that you should not make a mistake and think chukim u'mishpatim acherim heim, maybe one would make a mistake and think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us a new set of mitzvos. Lekach kosov acharav. That's why the next pasuk makes it clear. Kizos habris. It's the same bris. Asher echoes is based shol achar hayom reim nasati lamducha shehi hi ha-Torah atzma. It's just going to be a renewal. Now to clarify what this means, there's another beautiful message that explains as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, so parcha nishmas, and after they received the first two dibros, it was too much for Klal Yisrael to bear. Parcha nishmasan, their souls departed, and they had to be revived. Klal Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe, we can't take this. You be our intermediary. You go and you be mekabel the Torah and come and bring it to us. It's too hard for us to accept the Torah. Moshe went, good, fine. Moshe was upset. Moshe went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they've spoken well. They're afraid of me. Excellent. Halavai, they should continue to be Yorei Shemayim. I'll give you the Torah and you will in turn give it to them. Okay? So that's what they did. Then Moshe received the Torah. He came down and gave it to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael took the Torah and they began to study the Torah. And then a few days later, they realized that they're beginning to forget. And they had a chaz of the Torah. They're forgetting. It's just, that's human nature. You forget something. And they said, Moshe, how could it be? This is the divine Torah. How could it be that after you've given us the Torah and we study the halachas, we are beginning to forget and we need to continuously review? It must be, it's your fault. It's your fault, Moshe. If Hashem would have given us the Torah directly, it would be impossible for us to forget. But being that, it's being given through an intermediary, through Moshe, through a human being, so the human element of the Torah being transmitted to us is what's causing us to forget the Torah. So therefore, we have charata on our... You don't hear this medrash. It's a very unique medrash. You don't hear this. So I never saw this before until I read this over here. We have charata that we asked you to be the intermediary. Go back to Hashem and tell him to give it again directly. We're now ready. We're now ready for the other dibros. You only gave us two dibros, panim el panim. We're ready. We'll come to the mountain and you'll give us all of the aseres hadibros, which is kolol kolat harakula, and we're ready. And if our neshamas will depart, so you will revive us, because it will have the advantage that we'll never forget it. We'll never be it. We'll go off the derech by hearing it from Hashem. So
if
Moshe,
you never forget it, then you don't have to learn it. Learn.
Well, I don't know. We don't know what that means. What does it mean? If you're not going to forget, does it mean you don't learn? I don't know. We don't know what this. I don't know what that means. Whatever it means, it means. Obviously, it would be different. Look, a lot of Rosh Hashivas today don't have time to learn anyway. Right? Once you reach
all this farm, man. Even if you
just going through it first takes a lifetime.
But if you don't forget it, you may not have to go.
Okay, so what? Whatever it is. So the Moshe said to them, Rabbeisai, too little, too late. It's too late now. You messed up. You had your opportunity. You had your opportunity to be mekabel the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. You blew it. You blew it. You let the opportunity slip away. And that's it. Hashem is no longer willing to speak to you directly, at least not now. But your request is a good request. And yes, when Mashiach will come, then once again Hashem will give the Aseres Hadibros all over again directly to Klal Yisrael without the intermediary of Moshe Rabbeinu in between. And that's how the Medrash learns the sequence of these three psukim. The first psukim is Hinei, look at the psukim, Hinei Yom Bom Nom Hashem, Tuchrati Yitz Bris, Beis Yisrael, Beis Beis Yehuda, Bris Chadasha. I'm going to give the Torah all over again. There's going to be a Maimid Har Sinai all over again. Not like the Matan Torah of the Aseres Hadibros that I gave you when I took you by the hand, I took you out of Mitzrayim, your forefathers, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. Because that, Asher Hema, Heferu Es Barisi. Because you have annulled. Not totally your fault. You forgot. Because it was given with an intermediary of Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Kabbalah was a weak Kabbalah. There was an advantage that there was Yirah Shamayim. Hashem said that it was a good thing that Klal Yisrael said that. They don't want to hear Hashem speak directly because they're afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But being that it was through an intermediary, it was annulled, even though Vanochi Baalti Va Minum Hashem. But in the future, Kizos HaBris, with this very bris, Kizos HaBris, this very Matan Torah is going to be repeated all over again. Asher Echrois, which I will forge in the future with Espes Yisrael. Achrayim Hoim Num Hashem. So here is the key words. Nosati I have given. It's written in the past tense. We had this many times. It's a prophecy for the future that's written in the past tense, because many prophecies, even though they did not yet happen, are written as if they happened in the past tense. Nosati es toirosi bikirbam. I myself have given, or really in this context means will give, my Torah bikirbam. V'al libam echtovena. I myself will write the Torah directly upon the hearts of Klal Yisrael. V'yisi lohem lelokim, v'heim v'yiyu li'lam, and they will be as the people to me.
The problem is that the ones that were over first was the Nochi Hashem. Oh, no,
the Chero Egel. Even though that they heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the one they were over.
The first one that they were over on.
Well, that's subject to debate because according to many they didn't reject the Kadosh Baruch Hu Mamish. They just wanted an intermediary. They wanted.
It was the error problem.
Okay, it's a kasha which has to be dealt with.
But he also says that they looked at it as an intermediary.
He's telling me, but they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just he's the new, the eagle is the new intermediary. Okay, let's just do one more pasuk because it ties up the inyan. V'loy yilmedu od, and this tkuf of the new Kabbalah Satora, the repeat of Kabbalah Satora. At this time, v'loy yilmedu od ish es re'eyu v'ish es achiv leimar. People will not need to be mechazek one another. This is a very fascinating thing. Today we learn, ein Torah niknes ela bichavura. Okay, oy chavrusa, oy misusa. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The method, go to a library. Shh, quiet. No talking in the library. You go to a Beis Medrash, it's deafening. It's mamish, a real vibrant Beis Medrash is deafening. The derech of learning Torah is through discussion, give and take. It's through bichabura. So it's incredible what it says here. And Chazal, if a person tries to learn Torah by himself, is man hazeh, he becomes a fool. A person becomes foolish by trying to study Torah himself. Some say that Bizman Azed does not apply because Bizman Azed we have Svarim, so it's a little bit different. But even with Svarim, we all know.
Learning tapes and Echnami,
it's the same thing, it's also listening. But even with all that, we all know that there's something to a live shiur. It's been, when they started with this technology, with online shiur, and people really were afraid that real shiur would come to an end. Why would you want to go to a shiur when you can go online and listen to the best? Like, you can go online, you can listen to the best stuff. I'm sure there are five-star Daf Yomis online every single day, probably live. Yet, look at the Metzias. The Metzias says every single shul has at least one, two, three Daf Yomis. Why don't those say very same people go online and listen to shiurim? Obviously, there's... It's more than the questions. Some Magim don't let you ask questions. You have to go so fast they can't ask questions. There's just something to it. There's something to being give and take, being in the presence of other people and learning live with other people. Even a live recording. A live, you can go here, you have a choice. You can hear a shiur. I'll give you a 5-star shiur from 10 years ago or a mediocre shiur from today. What would a person that's live, that's beginning live right now, what would people choose to go to? Live. Why? But the quality of the shiur is nothing compared to something you can hear a recording of some fantastic shiur you heard 10, 20 years ago. There's just something to it. There's something to the moment. The interaction with human beings of it being alive. So it says something very strange, that when Mashiach comes, it's not going to be like that. There's not going to be a need for there to be interaction between man and his friend of encouragement. It's going to be natural to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm quoting you from the Medrash. The Medrash of the year says that the study of Torah is not going to be b'der chavrusa la'asalavu. The study of Torah is going to be alone. Every person will sit in this Medrash and study by himself. You will not need... Like a library, yeah. That's what it is. I'll read you the Medrash in a moment. It's a shocking thing. It's a shocking thing what it says here. But that's what this pasuk is saying, and that's how the Medrash interprets the pasuk. It's not going to be one man to his friend, each one giving encouragement to his fellow man. Everyone's going to know me. I will forgive them for their sins. I will forgive them for their sins. Their chatoyim will not be mentioned, will not be remembered anymore. Okay, let me just tell you that message before we...
What's the segue, though?
This is the saying, this is the bris chadasha.
No, but in this
pasuk
itself.
Oh, you mean the sins, the chatoyim.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know. I don't know. What is the chatoyim? I don't know. I do not know. Maybe we'll look in the Muradak and say something. I don't know. But let me just first point out this medrash before we look in the Farshim. This is Tanchuma. V'lo yilmudu ish od ish esrei'ehu. Ma v'lo yilmudu od ish esrei'ehu. Ela sh'amach ha'desh baruch hu b'ele ma'zeh al-yidei yetzahara ha'yulayim dino. That's not the medrash I wanted to say. In one moment, where is it? It's probably in the Sefer. For Yilmidu Od, no, it's the same thing. I don't know where it is then. I don't know where I saw this maybe in the notes. Okay, I don't know. I'm going to have to go look. I definitely saw this somewhere. Let me just see what it says over here. That's what we mentioned before. Here it is. You will not need a person to teach you. You will not need Rebbeim to teach you the Torah. Shenemar. That's what it says. You're not going to need teach the Tanchuma. The Tanchuma takes this pasuk literally. You will not need teachers lost love. A person will be able by himself to come to understand the depths of Torah. Okay, let's try to do at least some of the farsh before we conclude. Let's go back to the Mitzudo Stavit, starting with Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed says, a Beris Chadasha. In the future, when Mashiach comes, Hashem will forge a Beris Chadasha, which says, Eloimar, Inyan HaBeris Yiyeh Chadosh, Ma Shelohoya Me'oz. The bris will be new, something which did not exist until now. Lamed Alf, V'loi Be'bris, Lo Yiyeh K'moy HaBeris Asher Karati Esav Oysam. It will not be like the bris that I forged for your forefathers. So the Mitzudas very nicely explains Pshat in this pasuk that Hashem says, you are the ones who did not keep the terms. But I, Hashem, kept the terms. Anochi ba'alti vamnum Hashem. I was always your master. I was always faithful to the bris. It was you who were the ones that were unfaithful to the bris. Okay, pasuk lamed v'anochi avla anochi lo yafarti ki ayisi lechem lo adon lo hashiyam mikaf oyev to save from the enemies. Pasuk lamed beis acharei hayom mohem acharei sheyeshuv min agoyla. In the future, when Mashiach comes, you return from Golus. Nasati ovar b'mokoyim osit. Prophecy is typically written in the past tense. In the past tense, even though it refers to a future event, Ritzon Eloimar etein Torasi bikirbam, I will give the Torah bikirbam. Kolaimar etel libam lekayim es haTorah, I will turn their hearts so that they fulfill the Torah. V'al libam echtevena, Ritzon Eloimar lo tishkach milibam, it will not be forgotten from their hearts. Ki ilu hoyse chakuka shama, as if it was etched in their hearts. V'hoyisi v'hema. At that time, we will be partners. Just like I will not violate the terms of the bris, you, Klal Yisrael, will also not be in violation. To believe in me, v'lishmar mitzvos sayim, to guard my mitzvos. Pasuk lamed gimel, v'lo yilmedu, lo yitztarchu or lilmod ish esh'eiv, l'zariz lemar du es Hashem. So the Mitzudos learns not like the Tanchuma, not like I told the Tanchuma that you're not going to need teachers. It refers to chizuk. It refers to encouragement, musar. Today we live in a world where everyone is in need of chizuk. I heard Rabbi Goldwasser speak. He says he was walking on the streets of Yerushalayim and someone comes over to him and he recognizes him. He said, Rabbi Goldwasser, here you are in Yerushalayim. Please, can you give me some chizuk? Right, give me some chizuk. Today we live in a world where we're obsessed, where we need chizuk. You'll even stop a common a man in the street and you'll ask him, please give me words of chizuk. It's not a joke, unfortunately that's how it is. But it says that when the time of Mashiach comes, you see, this bracha is a very deep bracha. People are not going to need chizuk. People will be naturally happy. They'll find their tafkit. Ki kula me atzvam yedu oisili, will know me naturally. Ki min akatanim, min akadolim, ki es lach. So here's the segue. Here's, let's see what he says of the Mesudos. Ve'akol yiyu imkein tehoirim. Uminukim e'avon ulchein. Kulam yasigu ha'asaga ha'hi sha'ashem hu elokim. So I think what he's saying over here is that if a person is pure from sin, then you don't need chizuk. You only need chizuk when you are mired in chait. You're filthy in chait, then you need chizuk. But if you're clean, you're clean from the nail, it's natural to do Hashem's rasin. Now this fits very well with, I just had a nice discussion with someone on Yom Tov about this, with the tefillah of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish composed the tefillah. It's printed in the art scroll Lag BaOmer. I think it's printed, you probably can find it online. It seems that many women recite this tefillah when they light candles Friday night. The tefillah basically is to be mispalel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take away from your children distractions that prevent them from developing into reaching their full potential. In other words, when you go for a bracha, the typical mindset of the person is, I'm going for a bracha to get like a boost. Like to get, someone should inject me with steroids. I'm a good guy. Children are good, but you know, I want them to be big talmidei chachamim. So give them some vitamins, give them some steroids, give them some stimulants to get them all worked up. They should shuckle hard and they should become talmidei chachamim. And you go to the brachas, you go shopping for brachas. This girl, that girl, brachas, should be your shemayim, it should be a talmid chacham, it should be a tzaddik, it should be this. The Chazon Ish says, you got it all wrong. Rabbi says, you got it all wrong. You don't need brachas to be a talmid chacham, your shemayim. What you need brachas is Hashem should give siyata d'shmaya to take away distractions. If a person would just have siyata d'shmaya, that he would not know about a certain toy, a certain mishigas that sticks in his mind the whole day. I can't wait until Klishiv is over. I'll be able to go home and play with this mishigas. If the distractions were removed, mimela, it's natural for the person to develop into Talmidei Chachamim. And he advised parents that when they mispalel for their children, the ikar tefillah should be, Ribbono shel Olam, please give my child siyata d'shmaya, guide him remove him, protect him from the distractions in life. And if he's protected from the distractions in life, then Mela, he'll be what he's meant to be. So that's really what the Mitzudas here says. He says, why is it going to be that in the future you're not going to need chizuk? You're not going to need all of the resource rooms and all of these things that we have today. It's if you'll be clean from chait. You'll be clean from all of the distractions that pull a person down. Mimela, you'll be able to be strong. You'll be able to have chizuk and be able to go forward. Okay, we'll leave the Rashi and the Radak in Yirtz Hashem for tomorrow. Rashi for the Radak for tomorrow.